brains. And I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man. Why you had the stupidest verse? Let's do this the truth. Now everybody giving them guest spots. His stocks through the roof. I heard him with that stock.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
We call him right to be sick.
Just straight down that hill, so turn a little left. Yeah, there you go. There you go. We're going to have some fun here. Stay tuned. Don't anybody leave. Yeah. Very nice. Can't do it. He's looking for that number one win right there.
He's enjoying that one. You talk about perfect. It barely carried the bunker, and it could have gone in for the same price.
Ken Duke is in the field at Augusta next year.
Congratulations, Ken Duke. That was awesome golf. Some tough stuff.
Ken, that was a long time coming, but boy, was it worth waiting for.
I think it was the plane ride with you and McCoy. No question. Or your mom. But, you know, Dave, it's worked hard. Had a great session with Mr. Totsky last week, and I've knocked on the door a lot, and here we are. That's what it's all about.
Congratulations on that door just opened. Well done.
Oh, what a great Sunday. Welcome into the zone on a sunny Monday. Justin Akery joined by Chris Kane of KATV, and big weekend in the world of golf for the state of Arkansas. We have an Arkansan win a PGA event, his first ever, and we have an LPGA event here in the state with Stacey Lewis finishing well, probably not as well as she would have liked to, but a solid performance again. Chris, good morning. How
good
are you?
Good morning. Wow, what a weekend. What a great way to end the weekend, too, watching Ken Duke in that playoff. Man, everything just went his way yesterday.
No question.
Was that just – it's one of those days where even when you hit it in the woods, it bounces right out onto the green 5 feet from the pin, and you just don't know why, you don't know how, but it happened for a reason.
Well, and you think everything's going his way, and then a competitor chips in on the last hole to force a playoff, so you're wondering if maybe victory will be snatched from you once again, and it wasn't for Ken Duke. And if I'm Ken Duke, honestly, you'd rather win by 10 strokes, but if you don't – but I hate it when you win and then you sit and wait. A better way to win, of course, is when you are on the course and you hit that winning putt, even if it's only 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
Right. So instead of making his finishing his round, shooting 66, which is extremely good, and sitting in the clubhouse and waiting to see what happens, and then coming out and being, you know, named champion, which would have been fine too, I'm sure. Instead, you go to a playoff, and it takes two playoff holes, and you win it that way, which was so dramatic and so much fun.
The way you went to the playoff, too, watching Stroud chip that in off the green on 18, how much of a letdown is that almost at that point where you're thinking, I was this close to just taking – and don't get me wrong, I'm sure he looks back now and is like, hey, whatever had happened, and I won. But, man, have so many close calls in his career looking for that first victory, and it almost didn't happen yesterday.
Well, and congratulations or credit, I guess, to Chris Stroud. I give him a game ball and a jock strap on this Monday.
Yes, and I know where you're going with this. The game ball is for a force in the playoff.
Now, well, that, and the game ball is also for his performance on 18. The guy played 18 on the tee box perfectly three times in a row.
He did.
And after the second time he hit perfect driver and not perfect second shot, look, it was a tucked pin behind, right behind a sand trap,
yep.
And you couldn't hardly land it pin high and keep it on the green.
You had to be aggressive.
So the question becomes for him, was it a miscalculation not to hit three wood or something a little bit shorter where he was back where Ken was after his drive on that last playoff hole? Because if you're in an awkward distance, 90-some yards, it's strong downwind, you're hitting on a downslope, you're hitting to a tuck pin position behind a sand trap, you wonder if maybe it wasn't a little bit smarter. If I'm his cat, I'm thinking maybe we hit three wood here and we have a good full shot into the green as opposed to, you know, maybe knocking down a sand wedge. With that downwind, it was a tough deal.
It was. I mean, like you said, he played it three times, so you'd think maybe on those last two he'd have more of a gauge on how to play it. But
the first time he's over the green and he chips in for the birdie that, of course, sent it to the extra hole. The second time he was on the green but not close enough. So the first playoff hole, he was on the green.
Well, he hit it in the trap.
Oh, sand trap, I'm sorry.
He hit in the trap, and that was a huge misjudgment.
And he made a great
miscalculation.
He made some great up and down. And then the last time he hits it to about 25, 30 feet or whatever it was. I mean, he made a great putt. I thought he was going to knock that down for birdie.
Well, Duke just hit an unbelievable shot.
Yeah.
Now, that was what it came down to. He was aggressive. He went for it, and even though it was tucked behind the sand trap, and like Faraday said, I mean, you're talking a foot away from being in the hazard, which almost would have put him out of contention at that point.
I've never given anybody a jock ball before, but this is sort of a dual thing because I'm it's a disappointing negative, but it's also a pretty impressive positive to some degree.
Go for it.
After he chips in, of course you understand that he's celebrating and you understand his excitement level, and you can't imagine how thrilled the guy had to be. He's off, he's hugging his wife, he's grabbing his kids, he's walking around, he's celebrating with the fans, knowing he still had to play in a playoff. So for him to celebrate at that level, and then after every shot in the playoff, he's trying to get the crowd pumped up. And I mean, at one point, part of it is it's weird behavior for a PGA player in that position when it's not in hand.
Sure.
The other thing is for him to be able to mentally stay in it like he did and play as well as he did, considering how, again, that's sort of a separation from focus where you're out and you're getting involved with the crowd and you're getting them pumped up. Although there are some guys that are a little more interactive with the crowd and that's part of their shtick, and maybe that's just the way he is. I've never seen him play before. But like a guy like Trevino versus a guy who has that singular focus and doesn't really try to engage the crowd at all like Tiger Woods.
Like Tiger, yeah. Like Tiger only celebrates after he wins.
Right.
That's it. That's the only time he'll celebrate. So you're saying that Stroud should leave the Happy Gilmore stuff until he
I just didn't think it was appropriate to celebrate like that. My point was, and I tweeted this out yesterday, does he know that he has to play a playoff now? Does he understand that he didn't win despite the great chip? I don't know if he understood
when your adrenaline's pumping at that point. And I think the way he did it, I understand where he's coming from. The way it went down,
But it continued through the playoff. It wasn't like he just celebrated after the chip.
I know. And it's just not something typical we see on tour, but I really didn't have a problem with it.
I don't know what his demeanor
is. I was rooting for Ken Duke. I didn't want Stroud to win. I wanted Ken Duke to get his first one, but I didn't have a problem. I didn't really notice the celebration or the showboating or whatever you want to call it as much as maybe some other people. I saw some other people on Twitter. RJ tweeted the same thing.
Well, I see Ken calmly walking behind, and Stroud's walking down, pumping up the woo-woo, you know? Get up! You know, but maybe
Happy Gilmore.
Again, maybe that's his persona.
I've never seen this guy before.
We may never see him again. But all I know is completely different demeanor. I was just glad to see Ken win. Bottom line is, for me, I've known Ken Duke a long time now. Certainly there are a lot of people listening to this show today who have known Ken 10 times longer than I have. Well, not 10 times. That would be virtually impossible. But I've known him for several years. But, I mean, look, I know his parents have got to be very proud. I mean, Ken's been through a lot physically. Everybody knows the story about the scoliosis. And it's an incredible story, and it was interesting, of course, that Stacey Lewis was in the news. I don't know if you've seen the latest Golf Digest, but there was a story in there about what she went through in her physical, you know, situation with her scoliosis. And Ken's was so profound, it's amazing that he was able to play golf, let alone at a level that he's playing at now. But anyway, the bottom line is it's a great story for a great guy. I mean, he's just as nice a gentleman as you're ever going to be around. Just always – just a great demeanor, a great guy to be around, an easy guy to root for, and he's been close a few times. You know, he won twice on the Web.com Tour, and he was the player of the year in 06, but never won in a playoff. So I was interested to see how he would handle it, especially after the poor drive on 18, when nerves had to be, because he's got to be thinking, he's on that tee box, and he's thinking, gee, all I got to do is make par.
I know.
And I win my first PGA tournament. And he basically shanks it.
Yeah.
But a brilliant second shot out of the deep rough. But anyway, all the time, I mean, I cannot imagine what was going on with him, because me and everybody else who knows Ken, your butterflies are going crazy, and you're just almost sick to your stomach rooting for the guy to get the win. And then the kid chips in, you're thinking maybe it's not his day. You alluded to a great point, too, on number 10, though. He yanks one left on 10, and it kicks out to like 6 feet. And
out of the trees.
And in the booth, they're going, well, you got to make that putt now. And he does. He
it
makes it
gift.
For birdie. Meanwhile, Bubba Watson and Ken were going back and forth, punch for punch. Ken would birdie, Bubba would birdie, Ken would birdie, Bubba would birdie. It was back and forth, until the meltdown on the par three.
This was something that was very vocal in the microphones, too. You could hear him getting at it with his caddy and how upset he was on the yardage estimates.
Here was the thing. The wind was swirling. The wind was blowing very hard, and there were a lot of gusts yesterday. I thought a tactical error on Bubba Watson's part. And Bubba's the guy I normally root for. Of course, I couldn't root for him yesterday because I was rooting for Ken. But jockstrap to Bubba Watson, and I know the guy hits it a mile, and I'm sure on a regular day that's plenty of club for him. But when the only terrible miss is short in the water with the wind gusting the way it was, for him to pull out 9-iron for a 178-yard shot, I don't care if you can hit it that far, it's a dumb play. He made a dumb decision on the club selection.
Yep.
And he blamed his caddy afterwards.
He
so
did.
A double jock strapped him. Dumb decision, because ultimately it's the player's call.
Definitely.
Because if it wasn't, Phil Mickelson would have won a U.S. Open by now. Ultimately, we all know it's ultimately up to the player. So you can't
caddies
go back and go.
Suggestions.
You can't second guess your caddy afterwards. It was your call.
Yeah.
Maybe he talked you into the nine, but it's your decision at the end of the day.
And he's played that hole three other times at least.
Yeah, I'm sure
not
he's played
it more
than
practice
that.
Rounds.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's won there before.
And he's
he
won,
knows
of course.
His tournament.
I know what you mean, but yeah, that tournament.
Double
jock strap.
Yes. Anyway, it was blowing, and the safe bet is to go a little bit longer. Even, you know, again, you're not going to make a huge number from just beyond the green. You can make a huge number out of the water, which he did. Then he gets on his caddy again when the wind is swirling a little bit differently from the layup spot. When he has to drop in the drop zone, he hits it long, and he ends up making triple, taking himself out of contention. So double jock strap to Bubba for poor shot selection. And also for getting after his caddy. I tweeted out the audio of him going after his caddy. David Faraday, who I adore. And don't get me wrong, I love Bubba too. But he took a big step backwards in my book yesterday.
Really? What'd he do?
By going after his caddy. Like
oh,
that.
He went after it too?
I'm talking about Bubba.
Oh, okay.
That was Bush League. I'm just saying I love both these guys. You gotta focus with
me. Oh, so wait, you're putting them on the same level of love.
No, I'll get to Faraday here in a second.
Goodness
my point
gracious.
Is I love Faraday and I love Bubba.
Okay, gotcha.
You can't check text and focus on what I'm saying here.
Sorry.
I'm telling you.
I'm
all over the place.
People are trying to contact me. I can't take it. Go.
Okay, so as far as Faraday goes, he basically called him out and said, hey, you hit the shot, big boy.
Yeah.
It was up to you. So, I mean, I love the fact that Faraday called him out for being kind of a punk about the whole deal.
Good. Faraday's pretty straight up.
So, for Ken Duke, he made approximately $1.1 million more than we made this weekend. So, good for him. He's also now, I can't remember what the number was, but he's over $8 million for his career.
$9 million now. He was $8 million yesterday, so now he moves up to the $9.5 million range. Pretty impressive.
He has made in his career $8.35 million in PGA events. So
aha,
maybe $9 million
there
total.
We go. Yeah, $9 million total.
Because he's made almost a million in web tournaments.
That sounds about right.
He's 165th all time.
That's
higher than I would have expected, I guess. You know what I was curious about? We'll have to look at this. Matty T, maybe you can pull this up while we're talking about it. How much money did Jack Nicklaus make in his PGA career? How much money did Arnold Palmer make in his PGA career? Because I'm curious to see where they're ranked in comparison to Ken Duke, who is, at best, a PGA journeyman, I think would be a fair estimate by the national perspective. For us, he's just another guy with Arkansas ties we root for every week, at least whenever he's playing. So I'm curious to see where he ranks with his $8.352 million ever on the tour at 165th. I'm curious how he stacks up against some of the greats. But anyway, it's a great day for him. For Stacey Lewis, she has to settle for a tie for fourth at the Northwest Arkansas Championship. And, you know, good final day. Solid, I guess. It's a three-day event. 71 in the final day for her. Meanwhile, the ladies who finished in the top three, 67, 69, and 67 respectively. And again, if she shoots even a couple strokes better, she's right there at the end. She's in a playoff. So if she shoots 69 yesterday instead of 71, and she really, honestly, among the top 8-9 players, she was the only one who shot in the 70s yesterday, so I'm sure she's probably disappointed.
You ready for Jack Nicklaus's career earnings?
And really, it comes down to, for Stacey Lewis yesterday, let me finish this
okay,
real quick. She has a double bogey on 7, which is a par 5.
I'll just let Chris
answer. The top three players yesterday birdied 7. She doubled it. That's the tournament for her right there. She played well enough the rest of the day to win it. Okay, go ahead.
Big baby?
Well, I have a net worth. So,
no, I'm curious about the most money the amount of money they made strictly on the PGA Tour. How much PGA Tour winnings?
I've got career stats by season according to databasegolf.com, and it says a career total for him $4,900,523.
Who's that?
Jack Nicklaus.
Oh my gosh.
That's not that much.
4 million how much?
$4,900,523. According to databasegolf.com, just making sure this is correct, starting in 1970, he earned $152,000 in 1970. Career or earnings rank at the time was number 2.
Those are all giant cardboard checks, right?
Yes.
That he cashed, I'm sure. 1972 is when he finally moved up to number 1 in the earnings rank, and that year he made $326,000 and 915 or $326,915.69.
What year?
1972.
But he was playing before 70, so what happened to the money before that?
I don't know if they didn't keep track of that or
regardless, not. Regardless, it's safe to say that Ken Duke has earned more in his PGA career than Jack Nicklaus
yes.
did. Yes. If you have any question about what inflation has been like as far as PGA Tour goes,
sponsorships.
From a positive standpoint,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that speaks volumes to where they've come from. Where the number one, the greatest player of all time, other than, you know, arguably Tiger Woods, could be that. Only about $5 million, let's say, roughly.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Well, anyway, it's a great story, and it was a great finish. Ian Baker Finch, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, we certainly didn't talk about Ken Duke. I probably should have asked him about the Arkansas contingent with Ken and John Daly, and Tag Ridings had a good week.
Yeah.
I honestly lost track of him yesterday, I'm embarrassed to say.
Bryce Mulder finished tied for 30th at 3-under.
That's good. And Tag finished a stroke back of Bryce, so he was back a little bit further, but he made about $20,000 more than I made this weekend. So again, not a bad couple of days of work.
You can make that on the golf course today.
I think that's highly unlikely. Anyway, it was nice to see. It was almost like, you know, not that they weren't excited for both guys, but it was almost like they were rooting for Ken Duke yesterday in the booth, which was great. I mean, it's like Faraday said in a tweet afterwards. He's like, you know, basically something effective. It gives, you know, fat guys everywhere a reason to hope.
Fat guys with bad habits.
Yes.
This is a great game.
And the thing is, Ken has just in the last couple of years gotten into the fitness thing. He, for a long time, it was not his deal. It didn't work out. And I don't know if he's been working out a lot or not, but he looks like, you know, your run-of-the-mill 44-year-old dude who's just really awesome at golf.
Yeah.
The thing, too, I don't know if anybody noticed this or not. When Ken hit his sand wedge into 18 yesterday on the second playoff hole, he spun it. He hit the ball, and then he spun his club. You know, you'll see Tiger do that sometimes. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And he knew as soon as he hit it, it was great. Which is amazing because with the win, you don't really know how it's going to end up. But he knew when he hit that ball that it was going to be right on. So it was just fun to see him finish strong like that. And again, it's so much more fun to see a guy win it as opposed to seeing a guy lose it. And if Stroud goes over the green and can't make birdie on the last hole of regulation, that's, you know, it's not losing it because it's still a great round. But it was so much more fun to watch him go head-to-head down the stretch and win it that way. So, anyway, we are efforting getting Ken on. I've reached out to him. I'm sure the better part of the free world has reached out to Ken Duke over the last 12 hours. So we'll see if we hear back from him or not. But I'm hopeful we'll get him on today. If not, hopefully this week sometime. But so excited for him. It's actually interesting. I was digging through the archive on Ken Duke, and I found an interview from 07 when he had finished as the runner-up down in New Orleans and had a great, you know, great week. And I asked him, he lost by a stroke, I think, and I asked him, I said, were you celebrating a great finish or were you thinking about the shot or two you left out there? And he honestly seemed very much at peace with the performance and that he thought he played well and, you know, didn't seem disappointed. So it was so good to see a guy with so much perspective who's been close a couple of times. He had a couple second-place finishes to be able to get over the hump yesterday. First time I think an Arkansan has won on a PGA event. Obviously, Stacy Lewis has won a bunch. Anybody with Arkansas ties has won since 04. I think Glenn Day's last win was 2000.
Okay.
And John's last win was 04.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. Long time coming.
It's good to see. Here are the guys from the booth, and then we'll move on to some other things. But Ian Baker Finch and Vern Lundquist talking about Ken Duke yesterday after the tournament had ended.
Hi, once again, everybody. Vern Lundquist along with Ian Baker Finch. We're here at the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. And the winner is 44-year-old Ken Duke. I don't know. The last hour of regulation and the playoff was about as good as it gets.
Unbelievable golf, wasn't it? Emotional. As you said, we had a bunch of first-time opportunities for a lot of guys out there today, and a couple of guys stood up to the test. What an unbelievable chip from Chris Stroud from over the back in regulation to tie Ken Duke. That was just an emotional roller coaster for both those guys.
And Ken Duke thought he had the win at that point, had to gather himself, and then they go to the second hole. And what a brilliant sand wedge he hit his second shot on the second playoff.
That really was a special shot because he knew he had to hit that sand wedge perfectly to carry it far enough. He had 117 yards, he hit a full sand wedge, landed at about 107, carried the bunker, spun it up in there about 2.5 feet, and as it turned out, that's all he needed.
Ken Duke is the champion of the Travelers in 2013. He's in Augusta as well, and Chris Stroud made 1,000 new fans today with his demeanor.
And one new enemy. No, I'm kidding. He seems like an easy guy to root for, too. And I like guys like that that are emotional and actually sort of break down that invisible barrier between the fans and themselves.
Yes.
During their tournament play. But again, it was just a different approach, and it worked out fine for Ken Duke, so it was okay. What a great setup of the Travelers, too.
I know.
Going into 18, I mean, huge setup. I mean, it's almost like a stadium feel where they're all settled in around the 18th green, and then for them to finish the playoff there, too, had to be very cool, but it's awesome.
It is.
I'm excited for Ken.
Me, too.
He's such a great guy. He's just such a good guy.
He's a guy you want to root for.
Yes, I always do.
Yes. I mean, even everyone else, like you said, the guys in the booth. Like,
we got a lot of good dudes. I mean, John Daly's a guy that, to me, is the easiest guy in the world to root for, too. I mean, he's a guy that, as we've talked about before, some people don't like him because of some of the issues he's been through. But to me, John's 99% of the time, John's only, you know, the only negative he's ever really created, I guess, has been for himself. So mm-hmm. I love John. I root for John. Glenn Day's a great guy. I root for him. I mean, haven't had a chance to meet Tag Ridings, but we've had him on the show a few times before. We got a good contingent. And obviously, it's great to have Stacy Lewis, who is far and away the top American golfer on the LPGA, to root for as well. So, anyway, big weekend in the world of golf. We have other things to get to, as you might imagine.